Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's the Brad Sesmatch Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. My name is Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad today. And we've got a really good show coming up here. We got Jimmy Vaccaro coming up. He joins us each and every week. The wisest of the wise guys, 41-year Las Vegas bookmaker. Hey, there's a lot to get to with the NFL, college football. And Eric and I are really intrigued to know what the over-under for this Cal-Washington State game is going to be this weekend. Eric, let's take guesses on that right now. Eric Sorensen, what would you say the over-under would be?
Let's see. Cal-Washington. Washington State. I am going to say the over-under is going to be about 93. Yeah.
Now, 93 is an over-under normally set for college basketball games.
That's correct.
Not college football games.
That's correct.
So we'll ask Jimmy where things are at with that.
The X factor in that one, though, Jared, could be the weather. I wonder if they're in Pullman. It's mid-November.
Cold.
Although it's in the mid-80s here, I'm sure up there it's not quite as... It's probably very windy. It could rain. And if that's the case, I'm no expert, but probably bet the under.
Bet the under. Interesting. Heath Evans is going to join us. Heath Evans, NFL network analyst, played in the NFL for 10 years. He'll join us. We'll talk a little Cardinals with him. He joined us earlier in the week, so we want to bring you that interview. And Bill Goodykoontz will join us, as he does each and every week, the AZ Central Gannett chief film and media critic. A lot of interesting stuff to say around the election, plus some movies to check out. He's been a very busy guy this time of year, so we'll catch up with him.
It's great. You're going to be wearing three different outfits over
three different outfits. So let's explain this just so people can follow along, and we'll go through it. Heath Evans joined us on Monday after the show because that's when he had time to do it. We had we used a little bit of on our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. We're going to use a little bit more of it here today on the stream show. Bill Goodykoontz is screening. He normally joins us on Thursdays like we are doing for today's show.
Yep.
But he is screening some movies today. So he was nice enough to join us yesterday after the stream show to tape it. So yes, I am not doing three different costume changes over the course of this show. We had to do a little dancing this week, and we're going to bring you all the interviews that we were able to tape over the course of the week.
Yeah, you're not at all insecure about your wardrobe. You're a one wardrobe guy during the show.
Normally, so. I'm a one wardrobe guy, but today I want to show off what I bring to the table in terms of a wardrobe. That's for sure. But let's get things started. So ASU is in action, a national spotlight. They play a Utah team, top 25 team. I have a lot of respect for what Coach Whittingham has done at Utah since they joined the Pac-12. They've really been a perennial top 25 program for the last two plus seasons. And ASU went up to Utah last season. They lost. Devontae Booker is gone. Now, he was one of my favorite running backs in the Pac-12 last season. But now they got a guy named Joe Williams. And I think this is going to be kind of the X factor, since you used that term already this show. Let's use that that term again. Joe Williams is the X factor this game, because when ASU had success at home, home and away have been two different stories for this football team this season. When you look at how they performed at Oregon, at USC, they flat out looked like a bad football team. But at home, they, especially on defense, it's much improved. When you look at what they did against UCLA, and for some of that Washington State game, the second half, it kind of came unraveled. But when they have had success at home and have been in games, has been their ability to stop the run. And so Joe Williams against ASU's run defense, I think, is going to be a huge key in this football game. That's something that I'm going to be keeping a close tabs on. This is a big win. This is a big game for ASU. They've got a tough stretch coming up. They're traveling to UW. They're traveling to Tucson for the Territorial Cup, which you can always throw. You can always throw records out the window. So this seems like a really big game with what's ahead of them on the schedule.
Oh, and they're at 5, and you need to get to 6.
That's crucial.
So you're playing a very good Utah team tonight, as you mentioned. Next week in Seattle probably isn't going to end well.
And then you're relying on being bowl eligible in the Territorial Cup on the road against a team
like
with nothing to lose.
And who knows? I mean, good luck trying to predict who's going to win the Territorial Cup every year.
No question. So that's coming up tonight from Sun Devil Stadium. The Cardinals are in action on Sunday, as we move to Sunday, against the 49ers. And quite frankly, if this game isn't a blowout, it's a disappointment. I mean, I don't want to. I've been on the train. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, Brad has had on the show, Eric, that have talked about how this season isn't over. The team is not dead yet. You can't pull the plug. I have been of the opinion since the start of the season that this is a Super Bowl or bust year, and I don't think I'm the only one there. I've been in the boat that if this team doesn't win the Super Bowl, this season was a disappointment. I mean, quite frankly, because that's,
well, and they set the standard high. I mean, the all or nothing, the build up. You know, it's not just on the media; it's on the Cardinals themselves because
totally.
All summer they talked about how good they're going to be,
and so. The fans are in the same boat for the most part. Now you can talk about how jumbled up the NFC is, and there's just two games behind the Seahawks. So if you take care of business, you set yourself up. If the Seahawks stumble just once, and then you play the Seahawks and beat them in Seattle, you can own a tiebreaker because you tied the first game. So that game will decide a tiebreaker. You can sneak in and win the division. But to get to the Super Bowl, it's very rare to have a low seed to get through the gauntlet that is the NFL playoffs. Some teams have done it. I don't want to say that it's never been done. But when you look at what the Seahawks have been able to accomplish, the years that they went to the Super Bowl, they had home games. The Patriots have had home games. You know, you look at the Broncos had all home games last year, except till they got to the Super Bowl. You look at kind of the grand scheme of things, and more often than not, teams that are able to play at home more often are the teams that wind up in the Super Bowl. The Cardinals, if they're not playing home games, it's going to be a really difficult task. And you look at the way they played on the road this season. They got warped in Buffalo. They looked horrible for most of that game against Carolina. This has not been a good road team. It hasn't been a great team by any means at all, home or away. But Eric, this has not been a good road team. So if you're all excited that, you know, they could still make the playoffs and they are in position to maybe set themselves up for a run, yeah, well, let's see them play well first and play well on the road before you sneak into the playoffs maybe at a low seed and have to play road games and still expect this team to do stuff.
We talked about ASU being somewhat of a desperate team. I mean, the Cardinals should definitely take care of business Sunday, but like you mentioned, the road games coming up at the Vikings, at the Falcons, at the Dolphins, which you would think on paper is a win, but you never know when they go back east. Then they have the Seahawks and the Rams as their road games. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, we probably could have looked at the Saints and said, yeah, it's a game they should probably win. Not now.
No.
And even the Redskins at home.
The Redskins are playing well, too.
They are, too. So that's very little margin for error for the Cardinals.
Very tough schedule. They're lucky to have, I think, the Redskins and the Saints at home because those are tough games. And I think that Vikings game looks a little bit more winnable. That Falcons, they never play well in Atlanta.
No.
I mean, even the years that Kurt Warner was there, they got warped in Atlanta, if I remember correctly. They never seem to play well there. So that's going to be a really tough game. And then they already lost to the LA Rams. I want to go over the Suns really quickly before we shift gears. We got Jimmy Vaccaro coming up. Their winners last night, 107-100. And you and I agree, this is a fun team to watch. I mean, are they going to win? Are they going to win 60 games? Heck no. Are they going to win 40 games? Probably not. But what you wanted from this team was entertainment value and building the youth. And I've liked what I've seen. Alex Len is the only guy on this team so far that I've next to Brandon Knight. So those are the two that I felt like have struggled out of the gates compared to other guys that have exceeded expectations. But Alex Len goes straight up against Andre Drummond last night, who was one of the big breakout stars last season, has solidified himself as an all-star center.
Pretty much a wash when you look at the stats.
Yeah, it was 16-14.
Yep.
I think Drummond was
18-16 or something very similar.
Exactly. So, you know, confidence has been something that I've worried about with Alex Len. You watched him against the Lakers last weekend, and he airballed a jump hook. He had a shot block, and then on the other end, he got basically dunked on. It was a really rough sequence of events for Alex that had Watson pull him. So confidence is something that you worry about when it comes to Len. When trying to decide if he's your guy for the future, nights like that against Andre Drummond are pretty promising, so hopefully he can string those together. And how about Eric Bledsoe? 31 against Portland, and then again last night, a really impressive performance. He's looking good. He's putting up close to triple-double type stat lines each and every night. So, hey, if you're not watching the Suns right now, you need to be, because it's entertaining basketball. Is it going to result in wins? Maybe not. But at least it's building towards something, which is something that we couldn't say we saw the last several years. So coming up next, Jimmy Vaccaro, he'll join us. Again, we want to ask him that big question, over under Cal Washington State, plus a lot more. The Las Vegas bookmaker joins us like he does each and every week. Coming up next, it's the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad here on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.
Yeah.
It's the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad here on the show and joined like we are every single week. And it's always a really great segment. Jimmy Vaccaro, 41-year Las Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort, joins us to talk the upcoming weekend in terms of football and maybe even a little basketball, too. Jimmy, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. What a week it was. How funny. We had, obviously, some great football games. We had an election, I think, between a guy and a girl a few days ago. We had a fight that was lackluster with Pacquiao on Saturday, but the football action has been off the chart, young man.
Was there betting when it came to the election?
We weren't allowed to take bets legally in the United States, but I put up entertainment only on about 18 months ago, which grew into an absolute monster.
Really?
The whole world's concerned about us. Who our next president will be, and we could care less about them. I did my final interview of the day of the election from the cable network from Norway. I did one from China. I did one from the Philippines. So to answer your question, if we could only take bets on the election, it would make Super Bowl Sunday look like a high school football game. But obviously, legally, we can't. But I had a lot of fun with it for the past 18 months, and you'd be amazed on how many people came to the book asking if they could bet on the election because they had heard about it. But unfortunately, we can't. The rest of the world can't. Doesn't make any sense.
So we can call you an international odds maker now because of the election, right?
Yeah, you can come. But I can't tell you who the prime minister of Germany is. But I can tell you a little bit about these two, which obviously was the most contentious election probably of our lifetime. But
yeah.
It's over, but it's still not over for a long time. But football is here, and what a great weekend it was. And some great games coming up here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's get into them. Some of the local game first. So the Cardinals coming off a bye week. They're starving for a win, and they have a struggling 49ers team coming to town who they beat in San Francisco a few weeks back. What's this game looking like to you?
Well, obviously, it's going to be what we've seen in the last 5 weeks, a new way of handicapping the professional football teams is just walking up, betting against the Cleveland Browns and betting against the San Francisco 49ers. You've padded your wallets pretty good in the last month and a half. This may be a great antidote for the Arizona Cardinals. You're a two-touchdown favorite, and trust me, we won't get a lot of money on the 49ers, except if it's we so-called wise guys taking a bet to probably reach 14.5 and 15. So it might be a tonic that you guys need. It's very, very out front that you guys in Arizona haven't had a good season, whether it's the college teams or the pro teams, but this might help you maybe to get back on track.
Yeah, no question. How about a couple more NFL games? First, the big Sunday night football game between the Pats and the Seahawks, and then also Jacksonville and Houston play in Mexico City. I'm wondering if there's a different dynamic or a different take because of them playing internationally, not in England or London, but in Mexico.
No, it's basically the same thing. Obviously, it's a little bit different. Obviously, it throws off the clock for the people that are playing in the game. As far as we're concerned, it's really, really not a big deal. I'll tell you what, everything's been relatively quiet this week. I'll tell you what's gathering a lot of attention is the Broncos and the Saints. A month ago, we were ready, obviously, to throw the shovel on the Saints, and we were ordaining the Denver Broncos as, obviously, back-to-back champions here. But things have gone south a little bit for Denver and New Orleans. They have a dynamic offense. Yes, we understand they can't stop over there on defense, but this was a pretty good test. The game opened up pick'em, and we had nothing but New Orleans money. So far, wow. this weekend, it looks like more everything is painted towards the Saints over the Broncos as far as money early. And like I said, the parlays and the parlay cards have nothing but Ravens and nothing but the Cardinals on their tickets early. But we'll see what happens.
Well, let's switch gears to college a little bit. You mentioned it's been a tough year for both the pro and the college teams here in Arizona. ASU plays a Thursday night national broadcast against a top 25 opponent in Utah. What's this game looking like? Because ASU has played a little bit better at home than they have on the road.
Yeah, they have, but they're still obviously missing a lot of parts. And Utah is just a solid program right now. You know, they're not flashing, they're not flamboyant. A lot of people don't know about them, but you're a touchdown underdog there, and you should be. And the Arizona team, obviously, the other part, you're a big underdog also. So to answer your question, Arizona State, we'll get some money late if we inch this thing up here, but not a lot. Hasn't been a lot of backing for both your college teams this year. If there has been backing on them, it's been against them as opposed to on them.
Yeah, and you mentioned in Arizona's playing Colorado on Saturday. Another Pac-12 game that Eric and I are really intrigued to ask you about. So Cal and Washington State are playing each other this weekend, which is the defense is questionable offensive bowl. We're wondering, where is the over-under of total points scored set at right now for this crazy offensive slugfest that we're looking forward to seeing?
You're obviously going to see, I think we had it 77. I can't find it on my sheet here in front of me, but I know it was one of the higher ones. And naturally, your Arizona team also is gathering a lot of attention. The biggest total so far this week is on Baylor versus Oklahoma, where we're at 80. So those two games will be the high-scoring totals for the weekend.
Have you ever seen point totals touch 90 with college football?
Oh, yeah, we've had a couple of them this year already. We had one a few weeks ago. It was 91. I think it was a Baylor game. And there was a weekend. I'm guessing my old brain's a little demented here, but I know sure. We reached 92 on a couple. But it was kind of funny. The one that went to 92, they scored 45 points in the fourth quarter. So if you had under, I think it was 7-3 with about 2 minutes gone in the first quarter, thinking, why? I got Jimmy on this one. But then you turned around and you ripped that ticket up. So the key is very simple. They're just running so many plays anymore. Something has to happen on each and every play. It's a new way of doing business. What I like to say is I go back to the short 15 or 20 years when average score in a college game, I believe, we totaled around 47 to 49. Now the average totals are up to 55, and that shows also in the pros. But the college totals have simply gone off the chart. And yes, stopping the clock when they score a first down just means more plays. But I've never seen nothing like it. And the general public caught on to betting over much quicker than the odds makers that people like me have adjusted to. So we got our backside smacked pretty good the first couple of years, but at least we're catching up with the totals, making them higher and higher. So if you want them, you got to pay a bigger penalty price.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort odds maker, 41 years Las Vegas bookmaker. One more, just to switch gears on you a little bit. So the college basketball season gets going, and a big one locally, U of A and Hawaii going up against Michigan State to kick off their season at the Armed Forces Classic. I'm curious what things are looking like for this game as they kick off the college basketball season.
Very exciting. Obviously, this is the time of the year when there's just too much work to do, but everybody enjoys it on both sides of the counter. Here we are, we're talking about big football games this weekend, and now, naturally, with the aircraft carrier scenario that they have, ESPN showing 24 hours of basketball. Mm-hmm. College basketball is catching up leaps and bounds because, first of all, you can play the teams early on and not be worried about that it might cost you a ranking here and then, because it's very obvious, no matter what you do here, you still have a chance when your conference starts up here. So I like to say it's a fun time of the year. Levels off a little bit after the first of the year, then we get right back on track with your conference and division game. So I enjoy college basketball as much as college football, and I can't wait for it personally.
One more before we go to switch back to football, because we received a message about this. People are wanting to know about the New England-Seattle game and also the Pittsburgh game coming up this weekend.
Pittsburgh game, it's amazing. We're 2.5 Pittsburgh, and obviously, this line made 4 weeks ago would have had the Steelers about a 6.5 or 7-point favorite. Make no mistake about it, the Dallas Cowboys are legitimate. Make no mistake about it, these two youngsters are doing things we haven't seen in a while. But Steelers lost last week to the Ravens. They're going home where Roethlisberger throws at least twice as many touchdowns as he does on the road. It's a spot for the Steelers and Tomlin to get back on track here. But only at 2.5, we actually have taken more money on the visiting Cowboys as opposed to the Steelers. But I believe that that'll change come Sunday. But and Seattle Patriots, a tough game to handicap. Seattle, obviously, to some degree, escaped the other night on some questionable calls in the middle of the game and towards the end of the game. New England's an 8-point favorite, should be. You won't see ink in New England as far as I straight bet, but you'll see them dominated by teaser and parlay play. But there'll be so many teasers hooked up to New England -1 or just having to win the game. So, but the point spread is 80. The total, relatively high, 48.5. You will see some money with the straight bets on Seattle, but we'll be rooting our behinds off for the Seattle Seahawks to win the game only because we'll be flooded with parlays and everything else on the New England Patriots, and Tom Brady voted for Trump, right? Let's go.
Yeah, right. That's Jimmy Vaccaro. He joins us each and every week. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. Great information. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
That's Jimmy Vaccaro, 41-year Las Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino and Resort. And, hey, so, Eric, you said at the top of the show, you 93 the over-under.
77?
Are you going to go make a bet, Eric?
Seems low. I might. But, again, it's like we talked about, Jared. It's all about the weather. If it's dumping rain, which it could be, or if there's, like, 57-mile-per-hour winds in Pullman, I'm just going to stay away.
So. But if it's, you know, a nice but crisp day in Pullman, are you going to go find a...
Cal's defense is so bad, they could give up 77 and not have to score and still cover the spread.
I mean,
they're just so bad defensively.
It's true. And he mentioned the U of A-Colorado game could be a shootout, too. That's definitely looking like it. U of A needs a win.
They do.
They really need a win. This would be a good one to get. Colorado's been very good. They've been one of the best stories in college football this season, but... U of A needs to get a W this week. That's Eric Sorensen. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad Sessman on the show. Coming up next, like we mentioned, we talked to Heath Evans of the NFL Network earlier this week. We want to bring you back some of that interview, talking about the Cardinals and Bruce Arians, plus an XFL 30 for 30. I get chills thinking about it. We'll talk about that as well. It's on the Brad Sessman Show, Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad. Glad now to be joined by Heath Evans, former 10-year NFL veteran, now with the NFL Network. He joins us here on Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ to talk a little NFL. And let's get started with the Cardinals, Heath. Now, we look at this Cardinals team. Is it the mystery of the Arizona Cardinals from a national perspective, or is it a mystery that they're 3-4-1 at this point?
Oh, it's definitely a mystery. I mean, I think I'm probably Bruce Arians' biggest fan for, you know, a former player that never got to play for him. And I say got to because I've definitely taken it as an honor to play with someone the way that he thinks and the way that he disciplines and the way that he coaches and the way that he just, I think, emotionally and mentally and physically drives his teams. And I think those type makeups is really kind of what leaves you shaking your head about not the quality of play, but the quality of the consistency of play. Because you see the defense capability, you see the offensive capabilities, it's just in spurts. And the one thing that we've grown to expect out of a BA, that team, is consistently kind of grow in the process of pushing forward throughout the year. And it's just, at times, it's been hard to watch.
You talk about the offensive capabilities just being in spurts. That was not the case last season. When we look at Carson Palmer, the pass protection seems like it hasn't been there. How much of it is on the offensive line, or how much is it the fact that Carson Palmer just isn't very mobile?
Well, I mean, the mobility, Carson's been what he's been for a long time. Yeah, I would say it's a mixture. If I was going to try to properly assess what I've seen on tape, you know, in their first half of the season, It's different players and different groups taking their time to make mistakes, whether it be O-line breakdown, the middle of the pocket where Carson needs it to be clean for him to be efficient, or whether it's Carson holding onto the ball too long and missing a quick read that he should have hit. I constantly try to talk to Kurt Warner and then other quarterbacks around the league that are over and done with that I respect about how they see and what they're seeing. And a lot of times it matches up and other times it doesn't. But with this team, it's just been inconsistent, you know, whether it's been drop balls. I mean, Floyd alone, we've grown to expect a level of play out of him that we just haven't gotten. I mean, Fitz is Fitz. I mean, we know every week what you're going to get from him. But again, I think it's just whether it's the O-line messing up at this point in time, whether the wide receiver's dropping a ball or whether it's Carson missing something that he should have seen that he would have seen last year really quick. I think that's what I meant by that's some of the frustrating part of this team right now, because they're so much better than what they've shown us.
Heath, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and let's do it again soon, okay?
All right, thanks for having me.
So that's Heath Evans. Really appreciate him joining us earlier this week talking Arizona Cardinals. And interesting, his thoughts on Bruce Arians and the coaching staff. He mentioned that this team, Eric, is a mystery based on what's going on, but should be better than they're playing. And you know, from a Cardinals standpoint, you could only hope that that's actually the case.
I don't know how much of a true test they're going to get Sunday. I mean, They're gonna win the game unless they just completely.
I mean, if they lose the game, it's
oh,
over.
The season's done. But they should win the game. But if they don't come out and play really, really well, I think people are gonna be like, "Well, you came off the bye and you had all this time. And I know you're a little bit banged up, but you're playing the 49ers. Even if they don't, if they win and it's not convincing, I still think you're gonna hear whispers of, "Yeah, this team isn't a playoff team."
This is a get right game.
Yes, it is.
Build
it
some
is.
Of that confidence. And speaking of Cardinals, David Johnson, it looks, I've only gotten through a little bit of it during commercials here, but
yeah, it just came down apparently, right?
Just came down. David Johnson puts out a story on the Players Tribune about bullying and how he was bullied growing up. And this, just reading the first few paragraphs, it kind of gives you chills. So make sure you check that out today. I'm going to read this once the show is over. Sounds like an interesting story coming from one of the new faces of the franchise, David Johnson, who hopefully will get the ball in abundance this weekend. Let's talk a little bit XFL, Eric. When's the last time you talked XFL football?
I love how you just transitioned from David Johnson to the XFL.
Was he
hate me the franchise back for whatever team he played for back in the day?
I don't know. Hope, you know, if David Johnson, did they ever decide what his nickname was? I know the Cardinals were doing it.
Nothing really stuck.
The one that would stick for me was the Humble Rumble. Did you see
I do that? Like that.
Okay,
that's a good
one. So that was the one when the Cardinals were doing that nickname campaign for David Johnson, and that was the one that I voted for and I still love. I want to keep calling him that. Can you imagine David Johnson, the XFL, with Humble Rumble on the back of his jersey?
There's nothing humble about the XFL.
No, nothing.
And I'm sure the people that are watching and listening are like, where are you going with this?
Let me tell you where
okay,
we're going
please
with
do,
this.
Because so, of all the things that we had to talk about today, secretly, I was really most excited about talking about this.
So let's talk about it, Eric. ESPN's 30 for 30s have been life-changing for a lot of us sports fans because some of the greatest stories in sports. I had a friend text me last night that he had never seen the Bartman one that they replayed,
I guess,
last night.
Just wonderful.
He had never seen it before, and he just texted me last night saying he saw it. So 30 for 30 on the XFL is coming and will be out the night before the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know if I've been this. I was excited for the John Daly one that that just came out. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But the XFL, when the WWF at the time and NBC decided to merge together to basically have a football, no holds bar, wrestling, beat the you know what out of each other. Was that Cox? Wasn't that like Sam Cox or something? Tommy Maddox.
If you're watching on the stream right now, we're playing some old YouTube footage of the XFL. The best was, and I forgot until I watched this back this morning. Do you remember how they determined who would get the ball?
I don't.
They had two players, one
arm
from
wrestle?
Each team. No, they had two players, one from each team, stand at the 30-yard line. They put a ball at midfield, and it was essentially
the
first one to get the ball had the option of either kicking off or receiving. And in this day of concussions, that would never, ever, 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 ever happen.
Same thing with this league in this day in concussions. But this was before that really hit. And it was incredible entertainment.
It was fun.
I mean,
to be honest,
I loved the XFL.
I did too.
I know a lot of people
did. You
could
do whatever you wanted.
Everything that the people are complaining about right now with the NFL in terms of being fined for, as you continue to watch the stream right now, you're seeing touchdown dances and showboating and taunting and just people just making fools of themselves. And now you're getting fined for that stuff. This was the stuff that people loved in the XFL. Not to mention it was football at a time where football was on the vast rise. Remember, so Vince McMahon is at the forefront of this.
So I want to say the XFL played their season right after the Super Bowl, I think. They didn't go head-to-head with the NFL. I want to say they started in February. And
yeah, it was kind of like the
May.
arena football, where it was kind of like the off-season football. And actually, I think there were a considerable amount of guys that did both, or guys that would have big XFL seasons, because it only lasted a couple years, I think.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Tommy Maddox went on to the NFL,
did, yeah.
After he was one of the best quarterbacks
and
in
even
the
Rod
XFL,
Smart, so. A.K.A. He Hate Me, got some time, I believe, returning kicks for the Eagles back in the day his XFL stint.
There's a name drop right there.
There's only a few players that you actually recognize from the XFL.
So Dick Enberg was the one that was big in partnering up with Vince McMahon to put this together.
And Dick Ebersol.
Different TV personality.
Yes.
Dick Ebersol. So his son, was it Charlie Ebersol?
Not totally sure, but
his son, Dick Ebersol's son, is the producer of this 30 for 30.
It's going to be so good.
So it should bring a dynamic and an insight
behind
this.
It's airing, and it's airing the night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the night before the Super Bowl. So I'm really looking forward to this. There have been so many great 30 for 30s. Another recent one that I loved was one that did on, because I'm a college basketball nut, the one they did on Phi Slamma Jamma.
So good.
Was a couple weeks ago. That was really good. But highlight for that was Clyde Drexler talking about the fact that when someone would try to take a charge on him, and this is not long after dunks were made allowed in college basketball. So that's an interesting story in history there. So now all of a sudden dunks are allowed. When people would try to take charges on Clyde Drexler, he said that his goal was to knee them in the face. If they were going to try to take a charge, he was going to knee them in the face if they got in his way. Imagine being able to jump that high, first of all. And second of all, that's just a dynamic to basketball that's pretty cool. It's very old school.
And crazy to think those UH teams never won a title.
Never
they got
won
close,
one.
But...
Never won one.
I never got.
So, absolutely. So, we're looking forward to this. Check out that David Johnson article in the Players Tribune. That should be good as well. Coming up next, I mentioned already, we talked to Bill Goodykoontz earlier. We talked to him yesterday, actually, because right now he normally joins us Thursdays like he is going for the show.
Third wardrobe change.
So, a new wardrobe will be coming up next as Bill Goodykoontz is screening movies currently. But we talked to him yesterday about the election, some movies coming out this weekend. I might try to check out one of those this weekend, The Arrival. So that's coming up next. Again, I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad Sessman on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. And like we do each and every week here on the Brad Sessmatt Show, it's Bill Goodykoontz of AZ Central Gannett, the chief film critic and media critic, joining us here on the show. And Bill, to get things started, so I know you did a lot around the election. First, welcome to the show. How are you? How is things post-election for you? And what were some of your biggest takeaways as the election process unfolded on Tuesday? Wednesday.
Well, I think Tuesday.
Sorry, like Tuesday. What? I'm sorry. I just lost myself there.
Yeah, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. I think I was like everybody else. I was surprised. And I think you could really see that if you watched the returns, if you watched the results come in. The network anchors and the cable news anchors, they really didn't know how to handle it. They weren't sure what to make of it, and it was different. I mean, they had not really, I don't think, considered the possibility of Trump winning. And I think that was even true of some of Trump's people. And so they were just sort of sitting there trying to make it up as they went along. In some ways, it was sort of fascinating. In other ways, it was like maybe not their greatest moment in a campaign season that has been filled with not their greatest moments.
When you look at the whole poll situation, and they were still referencing those polls on Tuesday night, what does this mean for election coverage going forward?
Well, I think it means either they change the data that they get, the way that they get it, or they just do away with it altogether. I suspect it'll be more the former than the latter. I don't think that they'll get rid of it altogether because you still have to plan for stuff, and they do. But I think that they said on the air while this was going on, this is sort of uncharted territory. Our polling models are not really stacking up the way that they usually do, and there they were.
When you were watching this all unfold, what are you from what you do as your career and what you do for a living, what scope are you watching this coverage? Are you kind of tuning in to a bunch of different channels as it's all unfolding? Do you kind of lock in on one or two? And what are you looking out for? Just curious from a consumer's point of view, so many people tune in on election night. I'm just curious from someone in your position, what are you really looking out for and watching for as all of this unfolds?
Well, first thing is, I mean, yeah, I watch a lot of channels. I tell people, and I think this is true, even if you are conservative, you're probably going to do this anyway, but even if you're liberal, you should watch Fox News, because I think that the way that they went would be the way that the country went. If Trump lost, when would they call it? Would they call it early? Would they wait? Would they him and haw? It didn't work out that way. Instead, it was interesting. They ended up starting out pretty, like everybody else, kind of wary. They weren't going to call anything too soon, but as the night wore on, they sort of slid into victory mode and started, getting a little more giddy about it. So that was interesting. But no, I watch pretty much everything all at once. Usually, I'm pretty good at hitting stuff right when they're saying something interesting. last night, for some reason, I just seemed to have the gift of arriving right after they said something interesting.
It's funny how that works out sometimes. Bill Gutekunst joining us here on the show, AZ Central Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic. Let's talk about some movies now. Let's shift gears, some entertainment value here. Arrival with Amy Adams, a movie that's going to be coming out here, a UFO alien movie. Well, I'm curious your thoughts as this one's about to hit the ground running.
It's really good. I liked it a lot. There's no question. It's a sci-fi movie. There are aliens involved, and I don't think that gives too much away it takes on sort of the big questions, about who we are and how we communicate and all that sort of thing. And Amy Adams is in it, and I really like her. She's fantastic. I spoke to her actually about the movie. And she's really good. She plays a linguist who the Army hires to go in there and try to figure out what's going on. I don't want to give too much away, but the whole thing plays with time and perception and, like, are we who we think we are? Are we where we think we are? Are we, you know, what is really going on in our lives? What went on in our lives? And I know that all sounds kind of vague, but that's on purpose.
You alluded to it a little bit. It's one thing I took away from seeing the trailer is there is a notion of communication within our fellow Earthlings, but different countries and continents is a big struggle. And it looks like that comes to fruition a little bit in this movie, which is a very prevalent topic in today's world.
Absolutely. Again, without giving too much away, I think the entire future of civilization rests on the translation of one word. They kind of have to work that out. But yeah, I mean, you could not help but think of the Trump campaign and that sort of thing when you watch the movie and the way that people react to what's going on in this world and in our world. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, you try to watch these things in a vacuum, but it's really hard to check, like, the rest of the world at the door when you walk in. And there is a lot of talk about communication between countries and how they're going to react and what if China decides not to try to talk to these people but just to blow them up? What does that mean for the rest of us? You know,
switching gears to comedy, it looks like Almost Christmas coming out. Looks like a really good cast of a family coming together during the holiday season, which is upon us.
Terrific cast. And the movies, it's all right. How many movies have there been of families coming together at the holidays and they don't get along and they fight and in the end they make up and everybody's happy?
Quite a few.
I mean, a million. Yeah. And this is basically that, but there are some differences here. Like, it starts out with the death of the mom. That's what sort of sets the whole thing off. So it's still, you know, a little bit of melancholy there at the beginning of it. And there are some real problems that some of the characters are going through, but it kind of all just gets overtaken by melodrama and turns into this kind of soap opera thing. That said, there are some really funny things in it. And that's mostly due to Monique, and she plays the sister-in-law of the sort of patriarch of the family, and she comes in and she's loud and she's brash, and she just cuts everybody that talks to her in a hilarious way. And it's worth actually sticking around after the movie because they have outtakes where she's just kind of going through her, you know, doing these scenes where she's cutting up with people, and the cast just cracks up and the crew cracks up. And she's really funny. It's kind of had a nice start, but it kind of collapses under the weight of too much drama.
And the one last movie we want to get to, this one looks like it could be a pretty powerful one. It's Loving. It's based on a true story of an interracial couple back, I want to say, maybe the 50s, 60s, even earlier than that. Just curious your thoughts on this one. It looks like it could be one of those that could be around come award season based on just seeing the trailer.
I think it will be. I think this and Arrival both will be. It's based on a case in Virginia where I grew up, which is not Virginia's proudest moment. But Virginia was one of the – it takes place in 1957. They got married – a white man and a black woman got married in D.C. because they couldn't get married in Virginia. Nobody would marry them in Virginia. They move back to their families in Virginia, and they're living there. And the cops come one night, and they drag them out of bed and put them in jail because he's white and she's black. And at the time, and this is 1957, this is not that long ago.
Mm-mm.
At the time, it was still illegal in 17 states to have a mixed race marriage. And what they do is it ends up in the Supreme Court, and in 1967 it finally gets decided, which, I mean, again, that's even closer to our time now. It's pretty hard to believe that, you know, that was going on. But it's really good. The acting is really good. And it's it is powerful. It's a little – the thing that's kind of nice about it is in some ways sort of the thing that is not quite as successful about it is that it's really low-key. They don't act like they're this big example for humanity or anything. They just kind of want to be left alone and live their lives. And so they live their lives pretty quietly, and they take that almost to an extreme, you know, their quiet lives. But it's really good.
Bill, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it as always, and we'll look forward to catching up next week.
Sure, thank you.
That's Bill Gutekunst joining us here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Again, I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.